This is a HeadGum Original.
Well, I have talked about how my guilty pleasure is Huey Lewis. And, you know the song, "The Heart of Rock and Roll is Still Beating." You know that song?
Nope.
No, Sammy, it's taken this long into the episode to admit this, but Sammy and I both pretty much don't listen to or really enjoy music.
I was wondering if we were ever going to come clean.
Time to come clean. It's sort of just not for us. And so
Emily and I bonded over when we realized both of us drive and clean in silence.
Absolute silence.
It's a thing that not many people do. But yeah, so I'm not familiar with that song you just referenced.
No, what I love about this admission is that it just points to how lucky we are to have this song to talk about, because this song you are an expert in.
Let's punch it. Punch up the jam, punch it up.
I'm a Barbie girl. That's me. I've innocently bopped to this thing many times without even reflecting on it, and now just having this on my desk as an assignment and having to reflect on it has made me hollow. It's hurt me to just to even think about this. But before I share my personal experiences and thoughts about it, I am incredibly pleased to welcome to Punch Up the Jam the incredibly smart and hilarious host, two of the three hosts of the podcast, our sister HeadGum show, Too Scary Didn't Watch. Welcome to the show, Emily Gonzalez and Sammy Smart. Guys, thanks for being here.
Oh my God. What an intro.
So rarely in your life do you get intro music, and wow, that really feels alive.
If I didn't do intro music on a show about music, then I don't know. It just feels like phony. That's the least I could do.
It's great. No, I'm ready. I'm brought me right into the present.
I feel alive, but I'm also ready to join you in feeling hollow.
Yeah.
I'm kind of shocked nobody had picked this song before. I got to say,
You know, same. There's a funny thing about this show where, so I'm Evan Gregory, one of the current hosts. My brother and co-host Andrew Gregory is currently on paternity leave. But when we started our hosting tenure about 6-7 months ago, I saw some chatter from fans that were like, I don't know if really we can keep the podcast going. Haven't they already punched up like all the songs? There's not that many more songs that they could improve, and I could never respond to it because I couldn't get myself off the floor. It was just so, the idea was so funny to me
that there are no more songs.
Yeah.
Well, in 6 months you did it all.
That we would ever, as humankind, run out of songs. But you're exactly right. I was looking back through the whole catalog of the podcast, like, kind of shocked. Aqua's Barbie Girl is just, first of all, it's like a Titanic hit. It's so big.
Yeah. It's really wild. When you said, like, thinking about, like, you have, like, I can remember, like, being in my parents' living room as a young I don't remember. When did this song come out?
1997.
Ooh, yeah. I can, like,
we're at 25 years. This is a 25 year anniversary show.
Oh my God, happy anniversary, baby.
Happy anniversary, girl. You did it again.
You did it.
I can, like, remember, like, dancing to this song on my parents, like, when they had, like, emerald green carpeting in the living room. I can, like, picture it. I can picture dancing this song and not thinking a single thing about it.
And seems a missed opportunity to describe the carpet as aqua.
Well, I would have, Sammy, but it simply wasn't aqua. It was emerald green, and
I sound pretty close.
I wouldn't lie. wow, this song. I know all the words, I realize. I mean, there aren't that many words, to be completely honest. But when I was re-listening before this, I was like, I still know every single word, every spoken part, everything.
I'm ashamed to say I know all the words to every song on this album.
Oh my God.
What? Sammy!
I owned this on CD. You better believe it. I listened to it all the time.
Wow, this isn't like the golden age of CDs where you only like the one song, but
you had to have the whole CD.
Yeah, you go to FYE or whatever it is and buy the whole album for $18.
FYE, man, haven't thought about that in a while.
Yeah, I haven't thought about a lot of those brick and mortar places. You got the FYE right next to the Walden Books in the New River Valley Mall.
Mine was in the Sawgrass Mills Mall, and I do believe it was next to a Walden Books.
Amen.
That sounds right to me, and a Dippin' Dots stand.
A perfect afternoon.
Yeah, you roll right from the Auntie Anne's pretzels into your Dippin' Dots.
Yum, yum, yum.
I would still do that.
Yeah, or the most hellish snack of all, the Orange Julius.
Orange Julius really had a moment.
Yep.
I remember going to the Sawgrass Mills Mall with my aunt when I was in elementary school, and she like had to go to the Orange Julius. She, like had to make a stop. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, some things are just part of the mall experience. Mm-hmm. I get that. You know, you stop at the food court. It feels like we're recapping Stranger Things. It was like the one thing that you guys are trying to avoid the hardest on your show.
I'm the only one that hasn't given in. Emily's watched it. Henley's watched it all.
And part two comes out in 2 days, and I'm going to watch it. Because what am I going to not finish?
Every comedian in the podcasting world is like chomping at the bit to be the most coveted guest spot on your show, which is like the person who gets to recap Stranger Things with you. Like everybody wants to be on that episode.
It'll be a 3-month-long episode.
Yeah, truly. Just for this like next part too, which is like 2 full-length movies.
I'm totally just going to sell our audience so hard on listening to your podcast at the end of the show when we always do outros, but I'm just going to say it right now because I'm not afraid to do it twice. For all of you podheads out there that love listening to us recap and dissect songs, Too Scary Didn't Watch is an awesome show, which is exactly what it sounds like. If horror movies are too scary for you, you listen to these friendos tell you exactly what happened and give you the inside dirt and when you should close your eyes and when you should run out of the room.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
That's the deal. When you mentioned like, will you ever run out of songs? I remember when we first started our podcast having a similar thought of like, we'll run out of horror movies. They keep being more.
There's so
always
many.
Like classics we still haven't covered. There's so many great foreign horror movies. There's more coming. There's so many coming out this year. It really is wild just how you start digging in and you're like, oh, I'll never get through these. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, our listener suggestion list is like hundreds of movies long. So we've got enough. There's a lot. There's a lot to cover.
Oh, that's so intense. That makes me stressed just thinking about it. But yeah,
it makes me stressed as well.
It makes Sammy stressed because she's the one who has to watch them. I just show up and go, what are you telling me about? And I just listen. I watch like 4 of the movies a year. So
yeah,
it's not so hard for me.
And it sounds less stressful to me because I get to watch the movie and just talk about it rather than make the new thing. Let's switch episodes one time. I'll punch up a horror movie and you guys review
punch it up. Tell us what you wish would happen, which sometimes it's hard not to be like, I wish they'd done that. Like,
that's true. That's
so good
true.
Until, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep,
a lot
they should have stabbed Neve Campbell in the first scene.
Okay, well, I don't know if I no. support that particular punch up.
just spitballing you guys.
rough draft.
Put you on the spot. You can think about it.
Let me ask you, I guess this a question for both of you, because Emily sort of pitched like, wow, she remembers listening to this song. And then Sammy dropped the absolute bombshell that you had the whole album. The whole Aqua album. Is the album called Aquarium?
I believe
so, yes.
I can picture the cover being very like they're in an it looks like they're in a fish tank, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah, like a fisheye lens, and they're all and it's looking like straight in the camera. Her head, her hair's in a real tight bun. The style on all of them is it's impeccable. It's great.
The hairdos are absolutely crucial to this band.
They're 100%. Mostly a hairstyle based band.
100%.
10% music, 90% hair.
Yeah.
Is the recipe. Before I play clip number one, and we'll just get into some playback and talk about each section of this insane song. Just tell me at the time that you fell in love with this thing 25 years ago, what did you think it was about? If you had to like state what is the song about?
Literally a Barbie doll. I think a part of me was like, I think it's like kind of porny, but I wasn't like, oh, I couldn't like get there. You know what I mean?
Like someone pressing two Barbies together to have sex.
Yes. Yes. That was the horniness. It was like, you can take the clothes off of Barbie and you can look and see fans and you can look, you know, like you can sort of do whatever you want to a little plastic Barbie doll. It's pretty fun.
Okay, great. That's our going in position. Is this song about a literal Barbie doll or no? Let me play the intro for you guys.
Great.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Ken.
You want to go for a ride?
Sure, Ken.
Jump in.
I'm a girl. So, sorry.
Oh my god!
Before the chorus even hits, we have a little bit of dialogue, a little play.
I love it. This is not what I imagined. I was going to say, this is not how I imagined Ken's voice sound.
I hope Ryan Gosling does this exact voice for the entire movie. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I'm furious. Greta Gerwig said that this song will not be included in the new movie.
Horrifying.
Which what? Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. What an incredible, like a missed opportunity. I just can't believe it. I'm shocked.
Absolutely insane. Or maybe she thought it's just too horny. For the movie's not going to be that horny, we can assume.
I hope it's a little horny.
It better be kind of. Have you seen them?
I can't believe we're so lucky as to be recording this podcast at a time in which the PR for this movie, I guess entitled Barbie, I don't know, is just dripping out production stills of Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling rollerblading in neon clothes. They're just going to drip these photos of two hot and horny stars.
With the blondest hair and the tannest orange skin and the cowboy outfits that they, the pink and the fringe and... Yeah, I mean, it's like, I can't get enough. Give me one a day for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty thrilled.
You guys are on. But yeah, speaking of scary movies, Barbie. I'm really into your idea. If maybe they are not too far along in the shooting that they couldn't make, maybe a reshoot's not out of the question to get Ryan Gosling to do this voice.
Do the voice, Ryan. That's what
do the voice, the Ryan. Do the so voice. Aqua is this dance pop group where if it's not supremely obvious from listening to 10 seconds already, they're from Europe. This is a Danish. This Aqua is a Danish / Norwegian dance group from the 90s. And it's like two producers and two singers, if effectively. So the dude singer, his name is Renee. And the lady singing the Barbie voice is Lene Nystrom. Okay. And I think this is the first clue to me that they're trying to do some kind of subtext here. Like they are trying to make some kind of statement about Barbie is the fact that this dude is talking so weird.
Mm-hmm. Hiya, Barbie.
Do you want to go for a ride?
It's so like just like broadcasting like I'm a predator, maybe?
Yep.
Yeah, and she's like, ooh, okay. you know?
Yeah. But okay, this might be premature, but I have another like pet theory here that is like sort of been, as I think about this song the last couple of days, a lot sort of warring within me. And I want to play for you this other song that would have been like a huge hit at the time. Eventually, Barbie Girl is like the hit to end all hits. It's on number one in like almost every country.
That's
well,
so
definitely in Europe.
Insane.
It was a number maxed at number seven in the U.S., but that's really something coming from Europe. And then, of course, had all this staying power. It's just played at parties for years and years and years.
Yeah.
It has 1 billion views on YouTube despite being released 25 years ago.
Wow.
Nothing could do that. Nothing could get 1 billion views on YouTube if it was 25 years old. That's crazy.
That is really crazy.
So at the time, even though Barbie Girl like became this just mountainous sized hit, at the time I think this would have been like a really high watermark for like this type of pop. I'm going to play you a clip from this song where I think at the time this episode comes out, in our most recent episode, our guest Arthur had this song as his walk-in music.
Okay.
And it's called Another Night by The Real McCoy. You guys recognize this hot, hot jam?
Oh, I sure do. Mm-hmm.
Here's the... Okay, so you got this German lady singing a melodious hook, and then we're just going to bounce ahead. I'm going to just skip across the like musical interlude, and then a really leering, predatory dude has a rap verse.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and friends.
Wait. Okay, wait. When did that song come out? This is... so similar. Are we sure it's not Aqua also?
Also, just not to talk about Stranger Things, but I'm going to.
let's just cross over all the pieces of media that we can talk about.
If anybody's watching Stranger Things season 4, and by anybody I mean like literally everybody.
Everybody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When that guy's voice comes in, that makes me feel like the like whole thing in Stranger Things season 4 is like people are put in trances that they think is like they're actually you know living their normal life, and then it becomes really sinister all of a sudden. They're like, oh fuck no, it's the nightmare. That's that voice to me is being like, we're dancing, oh, no. there's a bad guy here,
the dark reality that you're actually in.
It's such a perfect hook. Another night, that seems to be true. I talk. And you know that guy's German and is kind of doing a weird New York accent because he's like, this is what rap is. You know, it's got so many stupid layers to it. But so that song came out in 1995. And so it's his huge hit. It's from Germany. So I'm thinking that Aqua is like, we're ready to try, like, we're going to take our shot at a hit.
Yep.
What does a dance hit require? A hook sung by a lady and then a guy who raps like this.
Yep.
With
They're
a
like,
crazy
we've got the blueprint
voice.
Right here. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, they did it.
And they were proven right. Anyway, I mean, I think Another Night is like actually a way better song, but sure. let's get into that later. Okay. I have to keep playing clips of this song. We'll never get through this godforsaken.
In the Barbie world, life in plastic, it's fantastic. You can brush my hair, undress me everywhere.
There it is.
There it is.
Life is your creation.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
and then the beat drops. Okay, that's like the main thing. That's the chorus, period.
Yep. Plays a lot of times. The song is mainly
the song is mainly that. Life in plastic, it's fantastic. Sung from the point of view of the doll. What can you do with the Barbie doll? You can brush my hair, number one, and two out of two things you can do, undress me.
Everywhere.
Undress me everywhere.
Get completely naked.
As a kid, I'm like, right, exactly.
Yes, there, yes. And that. Then you push the little flat crotches together.
Yeah.
You couldn't really call it a vagina, you know.
No, it's just a flat little plastic area.
Yeah. The extremely smooth crotch.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have butts either, do they? It's smooth all around. Or did they have butts?
No, I think you're right. I don't think there is a butt.
There's, isn't there like a buttock shape?
It's maybe a little bit rounder, but I don't think
there's
cheeks.
Just no butt crack. No butt crack.
Yeah, obviously there's not going to be it. They don't need an anus.
No, yeah. It'd be, honestly, it would be weirder if
it'd
there
was
nothing
there
in the
was
front
an anus.
But a crack.
Oh, that's a great name for crack in the back. In the back. That's like whatever the mullet of pants is. And also, I was thinking of, like, you know, on the internet when they say, like, somebody has a really dumb take and they call it a smooth brain take?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's sort of like something was trying to be horny, but it's really not horny. You'd call it the smooth crotch take.
There
maybe.
You go.
I
yeah.
Know.
Yep. Yeah. That's what we're
just
dealing with here.
I guess I'm pitching that to Reddit. Like, take that.
Take it. Take it and run with it.
Take that. If something is like failed attempt at horny, it's smooth crotch. Okay. So Renee, the guy otherwise known as Ken in this song, Ken's not mentioned in the song, but we have to say that, like, the music video for this song has to be canon when we interpret it, when we interpret song meaning.
I will say, she says, "I'm having so much fun, Ken."
No, yeah, point. In the very beginning too, it says, "Hiya, Bobby." Hi, Ken.
He's right.
He's mentioned by name. It's Ken.
It's just we know it's all Ken. The words. We know all the words. And
no, you're right. In their little stage play,
but in yes, it's very he's clearly Ken.
Yeah, he's clearly labeled as Ken. You're
yep,
right.
Yep,
that helps. Come on, Bobby. Let's go party.
The scariest Ken in the world.
Because we all know, like, everyone knows that Ken's voice would be, you know, the most pitiful, like, blue blood Connecticut white version of what a Ken could be. Sure, yep. Barbie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd love to come to your dream house.
Come on, Barbie. Let's go party. You know.
Come you on, have... Barbie. Let's go party.
Come on, Barbie.
It's like an actual monster. Like a werewolf, like half wolf man.
very werewolfy. You guys are the werewolf experts. I'm glad this is like really helping out. So, you know, speaking of werewolf, is a segue I've never used. Have you guys seen the video for this song?
I don't think that I have, actually.
Really? I definitely have.
Okay, let me just like, we'll just hold for like a minute where you can pull it up because I really want to ask you about the hair on Ken.
Okay, perfect. I mean, I haven't seen this in 25 years, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like this was a time that was a little pre my awareness of music videos, or I didn't have like MTV at home, so I wasn't.
I'm going to say I was not allowed to watch MTV. It was parental locked on my parents' computer.
Same, yeah.
So,
we had no MTV.
I don't know
MTV,
how it is that I saw this, but
this this definitely would have been, you know, huge on MTV. That's the only way you would have seen it. That's the only vehicle for music videos.
I would obsessively watch TRL at like any friend's house because, again, I like
same
allowed. So I'd go over and be like, "Okay, great, thanks to see you, TRL."
yeah, 100%. Friend with cable in those trying times was
it was yeah.
Asset.
It was friends with cable and friends with like brand name snacks. That was like my main criteria.
What? Yes. What off-brand snacks are you eating?
Oh, God. My parents made us eat. My parents are lovely. They kept me fed and healthy. We exclusively had like organic shit, you know? They like cared about what
in
was
97?
Going into my... Yeah, exactly. Before it was like... Before Whole Foods was had good shit, it was like everything was... It tasted awful. Like when whole wheat bread was like brown and like mealy, and peanut butter would like crack your bread because
it wasn't spreadable.
Like it was mortifying bringing my lunch to school and like opening up a brown sandwich with like, but I mean, you know,
to be
so,
doing
yeah,
that
go,
in 1997, your parents
houses.
Had to be pretty granola.
Very granola. And we were like vegetarian. We did not have good shit. And so I would go to friends' houses and truly just like open their pants. One of my friends, one of my best friends, their parents, her parents hated me because they like knew I would come over and just like eat all their shit, and they wanted nothing to do with me. But this is such a beautiful
American story that your parents like work so hard to protect their children from the things of the world.
Truly.
And then you are just running to other people's houses to sneak the mass market processed foods and watch MTV.
Truly. And they knew, but they were like, well, at least, you know, for the most part. To this day, my sister and I are like, we're obsessed with Jif peanut butter. Like, two full-grown adults, like, can't get enough of fucking Jif peanut butter because we couldn't have it. We, like, refused to buy good peanut butter because it's too good. Anyway, somehow I did see this music video, and it's like, okay, oh, the hair.
This is wild.
So I guess I want to ask you, I'm watching this just to listen to song and think about it, but we're stuck here in an audio-only medium, and the haircut on Ken, played by Renee Diff Ken. Of Aqua, is absolutely satanic.
This is a cult hairstyle, like, for sure.
Are you able to, you know, words only, describe what you're looking at in Ken's hair? Because in my opinion, we have to use this haircut as input to understand the song.
Yes. So this hair to me is, it's
as if he has huge eyebrows on the side of his head. It's
one eyebrow over each ear, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's he's bald except for, and bald like shiny bald.
Shaved, like, cue ball bald.
Like slick bald, but his rainbow sideburns, basic, like arch side from sideburn to behind ear of hair only. And it does appear sinister.
I thought a little bit of the Nike swoosh.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
And yeah. For a while, I thought it was sort of like a
like
strap
all the way around the back.
Or a fringe, yeah. Went all the way around the back. But at some point, the camera comes around behind him, and you see that it doesn't connect. It's just the two swooshes.
Uh huh.
Oh my god! Yeah, I got a look from behind, and it is not good.
I haven't gotten there yet. Hold
it's
on.
Not
oh
good.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is a reversed or an upside down Nike swoosh. It's not touching any of the normal boundaries of where a hairline begins or ends. It's like kind of free floating mid side of his head. It's lost in space on his head. It's just, it's so bizarre. I've never seen anything like it. I don't even, I'm shocked.
Oh, I'm glad you guys are into this because I was 100% back and forthing this clip like it's the Zapruder film, trying to figure out what is going on.
Back and to the left.
Wow.
That's my Zapruder film soundbite from the movie JFK.
I can't look away. Maybe this is the like satanic part of it. It somehow like pulls you in. It's like, now this is, I'll be seeing this in my nightmares.
Yeah, because I guess, I mean, I'm going to be stuck on the haircut for an hour here. But I guess the follow-up question is, why? Is this...
Yeah, was this his hair always or just for this video?
I think he's definitely, he's a pro bald guy. Like, different
right.
versions
yeah,
of
yeah,
bald.
Yeah.
Renee is different versions of bald at all times. I don't think he had the swoosh of Satan at all times, like maybe just for this video.
Okay.
But not confident about that. Aqua, as noted, is very hair forward band.
Yeah.
Extremely.
Oh yeah. They're also nailing the orangeness, I'd say, in this video. The orange color of the Barbies.
Oh yeah.
I guess what I'm looking for here is maybe just put this in your back pocket for a minute.
Okay. Like
what does this say about Ken's character? Because something twisted is going on in this song where they're not exactly describing a literal Barbie doll.
Mm-mm.
but they're using the Barbie doll as a jumping off point for something really horny.
Yep.
The song will tell us.
The beat has fully dropped. At this point, we're all in. Like, this is what you're getting the whole time. Let's play through the verse. Make it tight. Okay, that's the verse.
Oh my god.
Ugh.
Okay, I gotta look at these lyrics. What is her first thing she says? I'm a blonde what girl?
Yeah, I'll recap for you. I'm a blonde bimbo girl.
Bimbo in a girl. I always thought it was blonde beautiful girl. And I was like, I don't think those syllables match up.
I'm a blonde beautiful girl.
the lies that the children are
but
telling.
But yeah, that was 8 year old me being like, blonde beautiful girl.
Right. This all checked out.
This is a song about the doll that I love. So I guess they're just trying to crack on Barbie here, right? And
yeah, this is a scathing critique of Barbie.
It feels like it's like they're critiquing a certain kind of woman, blonde bimbo girl in a fantasy world. But I also feel like they're making a commentary about like sexual predators, but I don't know that they know that they're doing that. Like I don't know who they're trying to talk down to. Maybe it's both. Like, it feels like they're insulting a kind of woman in this song without realizing what they're actually doing is highlighting the horrifying male gaze.
Yes! Thank you, Emily.
Like, it's like I think you've hit on something. This fucking guy who is speaking like a monster. So maybe they know they're doing it, but they're like, they're victim blaming of this girl.
That's
who is
right.
Being like absolutely taken advantage of by this guy.
With his fucking Nike swishes rolling in here. Yep.
I think you've hit on something really big here, which is that we can tell that they intend some kind of critique or satire. Uh-huh. Now they want to have their cake and eat it too by just like making it a fun danceable song, and I think that's what happened, that like just the word Barbie gives people something to grab onto and was crucial in making this thing a hit. If this song was just like I'm a blonde girl, like it's a dud.
Yep.
But by hitching their star to the brand Barbie, just like everyone can understand, that brings so many associations with it. I think that's why it's a hit. But they're attempting some kind of critique of Barbie or women who act like Barbie that like want their world to be plastic and perfect or something like that.
Yeah, this like moment, we hated a certain kind of woman so much. I'm like picturing Paris Hilton, Britney Spears. Like we're like, oh, you blonde piece of shit, like constantly.
Yeah,
it's the true. Late '90s. That's like even like a couple years before Britney really blew up. We already had the stereotype of the valley girl as being chick who sucks.
Yeah.
So it feels like that's what this is maybe trying to go for. But for me, and maybe for you, the satire is like really half-baked, totally falls short. You can't really see what they're going for. But you can tell they're trying to say something.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, recapping more lyrics. You're my doll. This is Barbie singing. Rock and roll, feel the glamour in pink. This feels like an ESL kind of.
No, this is Ken.
Here.
You're my doll, Ken, yeah. Rock and roll. Feel the glamour in pink.
Oh, you're right. Okay, kiss me here. Okay.
Wow, touch I'm also just there. Realizing I always heard that as feel the glamour and pain.
Oh, that's you. That's little you interpreting it a little darker.
Which is like, oh no, what did I think? Feel the glamour and pain.
Is it the pain of just like being famous, like Barbie is just her famous self, or is it because all the little kids are dismembering the Barbies?
I think this is me. I don't know what I thought it was as a kid. I think I was. There's so many songs that I would just just mouth, no, like the, there was no brain to mouth connection of like, I speak the words, I know the words, never registered right. what I was actually saying.
Right.
But I think even in like, again, to this day, I like know this song, and if it comes on, I can sing all the words, and I hear it as Glamour and Pain. And I think it's because I register this song as like an abuser's song and being like, I'll give you the life you want, but you have to fucking do what I want. And like, that's how I hear that.
So dark.
Like, shut up and let me do what I want to you. It'll be glamorous.
Oh my God. And kiss me here, touch me there.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. Kiss me here, touch me there. Like, do what I fucking want you to do.
Oh my God. This song is devastating.
Emily, I really think it's really dark.
That's such a good interpretation of like me, your human owner, has bought you this dream house.
Yes.
And the convertible that you wanted. Is this what you want, Barbie? But the you sign on the dotted line and I have your soul.
Barbie's a kept woman.
This song's about patriarchy.
Oh, 200% it is about patriarchy.
And capitalism.
The Faustian bargain of patriarchy. I hate it. Okay, then we're just back to like chorus number 3 out of about 7. You just forget the verse kind of comes and goes. You could forget that. You hear it once, it could kind of go out the other ear. Okay, here's a new section here. If this comes on at the club, like, this is the bit you're focusing on.
Oh, everyone's doing it.
Yep.
Here we are into verse 2. Beg on my knees?
Sinister, sinister.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm just pausing to recap this verse.
Yeah, we gotta dig in here.
They each get two lines, Barbie and Ken. Barbie says, make me walk, make me talk, which is sort of, this is playing into your assessment of just like, this is about Barbie being a doll, being a puppet. But she finishes with, I can beg on my knees, which like, no one has any question that that's about oral.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't think you can bend Barbie's knees. So we're sort of getting a little abstract here, because Barbie's knees don't bend.
You know what? This is the Barbie technical insight that I needed for this episode.
They're sort of like gummy. I think eventually they came out with a Barbie that the legs and arms would sort of bend. And
where
really
it has
sort of
the, like, the wire inside?
Yeah, it was like a rubbery situation where you could sort of bend them.
Like Gumby.
Yeah, a little bit like Gumby. But standard Barbies, no. You can't put them on their knees. You put them flat or straight up.
Yeah.
Or sitting. You could bend them at their, you know, crackless little waist.
Sure. Yeah. 69, doable. Or
absolutely.
No. Did you guys own Barbies?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you're bringing that, like, lifetime of ownership and relationship to Barbie, to listening to this song.
Yeah, we're the predators in our Barbie owner relationship.
Yeah, that's
you're
where
right.
We take the power back.
I didn't own any Barbies. It was a He-Man house, but my best friend Emily, right down the block, had the Barbies, and you bring them all together, and like eventually they're either naked or their legs are ripped off.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they lose a lot of limbs.
Yeah, sometimes I would like draw blood on them too. Why was I like that? Why did I do that? Or cut their hair and make them look like terrifying.
I would always cut their hair. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Little kids are weird. Maybe just I'm weird, but
even as a little kid, like even before you know what sex is, you know that looking inside someone's pants is a no-no. So then you just have to imagine what that's about. And what's the other most high-stakes thing in your life as a kid? Blood, whenever you scrape your knee. Like, when blood happens, that's like, that's
huge.
The most important thing that happens to you. So are you drawing blood on them with a red marker? I need to know more about this.
Yes, red marker, sometimes it could be like a full body, like some horrible accident has happened. Or sometimes it's just a little dash here and there. Maybe she hit her head. And there's just a little stream of blood. But I definitely remember drawing blood on Barbies, you know, maybe not all of my Barbies, but certainly enough that I remember.
Imagining going into your child's room and discovering that one of their Barbies has been completely drawn over in red as if their whole body is covered in blood.
We talk about this on our podcast a lot about how scary children are and they just like do weird, creepy shit. And like a big thing in horror movies is a child will have like a terrifying drawing and that will be your clue that they're, you know, being possessed by a demon or something. But in the real world, sometimes you just do that. I wonder what my mom thought about it.
Yeah, in the real world, this is just like important developmental milestone, doing violence to your dolls.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's like something is wrong if they didn't do that to their doll. Then they like they are showing lack of imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah. How terrifying would it be if your child like never took the clothes off their Barbie and was like, they are just live in a house. Like, that would be really upsetting.
Oh my God. Now we are punching up the horror movie because that's the most demented thing of all. If the kid played with the Barbie exactly like it was in the commercial, like, welcome to your dream house, Skipper.
And like screamed at you if you tried to take the clothing off it. No, he remains clothed. Their clothing stays on.
Okay, what does Ken say? Come jump in. Be my friend.
No, it says bimbo friend. Bimbo friend.
Oh, does he say, let me dial this back. We need to be certain about this. If he says bimbo friend.
We got to know because like, be my friend makes, I think, more sense. But she did say bimbo earlier and him referring to her as bimbo friend seems like an important distinction.
We need to make. Yeah,
it's one thing if
friend.
She self-identifies as bimbo girl versus him labeling her. This is like two very different things.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to let me roll this back here a little bit. Let's see what we got. Come jump
in, bimbo friend. Let us do. He says bimbo.
I'm shook.
That
I really thought
wild.
It was. Wow. I needed another time because I'm quaking. I really thought it was be my friend. He's just inviting her to the party. It's so different to say bimbo friend. Bimbo friend.
I think it's bimbo.
It's definitely bimbo. God.
I feel like this is not known by the internet, maybe.
We're blowing the lid off this thing.
You know, this is why. Yeah, just like the top results for what are the lyrics of this song. If you're just out there Googling like you are, I think are Be My Friend, but I'm not positive. Regardless, we're out here doing the work.
Yeah,
we're out here getting in the weeds.
Michael Keaton in the spotlight.
We'll get to the bottom of this. So casual. Come jump in, bimbo friend.
It's a crazy thing to say.
I'm nuts about it. We don't really get to hear from Barbie about who she thinks Ken is. That's what I'm thinking now.
Yeah.
Like, does she accept this? Like, she said I'm bimbo girl and is she cool with this? Ken just, it's like, I don't know. It's like Mandalorian being like, you take shotgun, Baby Yoda friend. Like, what would she call Ken if she were?
I'm confused about this as well because her lines right before this are make me walk, make me talk, do whatever you please, as if he's the owner, right? But he's Ken. So again, yeah, is it who is he to her?
She calls him Ken. He never says, hi, I'm Ken. Maybe the point of this song is that she is being like preyed upon and he's like, yeah, I'm Ken. Come on, get in my car. You know?
Yeah. Yep. Ken.
He doesn't look like Ken.
Ken is a cover.
I mean,
you don't sound like Ken.
You don't sound like Ken. You don't look like Ken. This is like the big bad wolf pretending to be grandma.
Yeah.
No, I'm Ken.
We've strongly established that he is like a wolf. I think this is a great read of the song. Like you wouldn't necessarily
have gotten there unless you're doing a close read like us detectives. But once you once you go into the song with that read, like if you take it as your thesis that Ken is this wolf is impersonating Ken and entrapping her.
And the little swooshes above his ears are his like fur coming out.
He's like wearing a bald cap that's too small.
Yeah, they're splitting at the seams and his wolf fur is sticking out.
If the fur is coming out from the bald cap. This is clicking, guys. This is like Ken is a werewolf sexual predator.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's once you see it, this is one of those things that you don't unsee. All signs point to it, you know?
Yeah.
We've basically have heard the whole song at this point because there's only chorus, two verses, and then what I would call the Come on Barbie part.
Yep.
Come on Barbie,
yeah.
Let's go, which is like its own sort of third section. Yeah. And now it's just a mix and match of the choruses and Come on Barbie bits. But I'm just going to play through a little bit. We'll see if there's any variation to note. Little bit of a musical breakdown here. They dropped out the drums. See, you're raising your hands on the dance floor at this part for sure. So easy to sing along to. The crowd is shouting along. Oh, just back in just two times in a row, the chorus right in your face. Great. I think that's it. Then we're going to get a little stage play at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just getting started.
Oh, I love you, Ken.
Oh, bro. I mean,
I think he ate Ken. Took his car and went to pick up Barbie.
Oh my God, he's wearing Ken's skin. It's not a bald cap.
Oh my God, it's Ken's
skin.
He skinned Ken and he is wearing it on top of his wolf body.
Oh, it's like when the bug wearing the Edgar suit in Men in Black.
Yep.
He's wearing Ken's skin. Everything in the song, you go back and look at it, everything in this song is Little Red Riding Hood wolf.
Well, Barbie, we're just getting started.
I was going to say, we're just getting started is a very scary line to end with what we've decided this song is about.
Yeah.
Yeah, what could
driving
be
to,
what could
worried.
Be more domestic abuser than like we're just getting started?
It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying.
Get out, Barbie. Get out.
Barbie,
get out
of
the car.
Barbie, get out of this car.
Get out of this pink convertible. The sound of it is like couldn't be sunnier. It's the most bubblegummy.
Mm-hmm.
As a musician, it's the most half-assed of dance tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's only the four chords. The verse is not different from the chorus other than they play the same chords twice as long. It's just it's a groaner of a song. This is even like way too in the weeds, really. But the melody of the song, I'm a Barbie Bear, is nothing other than just playing the notes of the chord. Sort of like if you took your beginner piano lesson and you're like, this is what the chord is. Now write a song from that. I'm just not moving my hand. Just can only play I'm a Barbie girl compared to like I don't know what we just listened to another night it's like
a lot more notes. Sometimes more notes I just heard.
Sometimes you just need more notes. Sometimes you just need a couple more notes.
But when that beat drops, you're like, oh, okay. It's just like, you have to dance because it goes don't and you have no choice. You have absolutely no choice. And there's a call and response. I mean, come on. We're incapable of escaping it, just like Barbie.
Yeah, this song came out as a teenager. And then, like, a few years later, I'm in college. And this song came up a lot when you're at parties. And it just works so perfectly for the party sing-along. You see why they're following that formula of like a girl is going to sing a hook and then a weird dude is going to shout. Then the guys don't have to be like vulnerable enough to even sing along at this party. They can still participate by going, come on, Bobby, let's go party. And then everyone's got like hands in the air and it just works. And you don't have to think about the bit about hanky panky. That sort of like blows by.
Yeah. And maybe that's sort of the message in and of itself, is that you dress it up nicely enough, nobody's thinking about the darkness, you know? If you paint it with bright bubblegum pink, people aren't going to see.
That's right.
The upside down.
They don't really, they don't. People can't see the glamour and pain that Barbie's living with.
Glamour and pain. The agony and the ecstasy.
The agony and the ecstasy. The pain behind the pink.
My whole life I've thought glamour and pain.
It's totally plausible. You know, you're of a certain age and you don't even have enough like world experience to understand what I had a really dumb one. I might have talked about this on the show before. I have talked about how my guilty pleasure is Huey Lewis. And, you know the song, The Heart of Rock and Roll is Still Beating. You know that song?
Nope.
No, Sammy, it's taken this long into the episode to admit this, but Sammy and I both pretty much don't listen to or really enjoy music.
I was wondering if we were ever going to come clean.
Time to come clean. It's sort of just not for us. And so
Emily and I bonded over it when we realized both of us drive and clean in silence.
Absolute silence.
It's a thing that not many people do. But yeah, so I'm not familiar with that song you just referenced.
No, what I love about this admission is that it just points to how lucky we are to have this song to talk about, because this song you are an expert in.
That's right.
This song, you had the album.
Again, it gave us no choice. It's covered in this, I don't know, this bow, this disguise. Mm-hmm. That just gives you no choice in the matter.
You have to sing along to this one. What, just for our listeners, like, what, why is it that we have to sing along with this song? Like, even while I was doing, even while I'm dancing to this at parties, I hated it. But like, both can be true. I can be loving it and hating it. Like, I'm glad it came on because I know everyone's about to dance. Like, the party is improved because this song came on, and yet the song sucks. Like, how does that work?
I think it is that simplicity of those, like, of the chords and the lyrics. It just says the same thing over and over, so everyone knows the words. And so, I don't know, there's something enticing about everybody just already knowing all the words to this song and singing along together, right? Like, I love a good, like, group, everybody singing along to something.
I think, at, like, a party in particular, or, like, when you're out dancing or something, it's, like, a moment of everybody being able to relax because they're like, oh, I know what to do. Like, nobody has to decide for the next 2.5 minutes what they're doing. It's like, okay, great. I know this one. I know what I'm supposed to do. They're going to tell me. He's going to talk, and then I'm going to talk, and then we're going to do it. And it's, like, you get to, like, turn off in a way that I think every party scenario needs a few of those moments.
That's such a great point, that like it's actually the dumbness of the song that's the asset.
Exactly.
Yes.
You turned your brain off for the dumb song, but we all know it, and we accept that it's okay to yell at each other, come on, Barbie.
Yeah, maybe there's a sinister read to that too, of like, it allows men for 2.5 minutes to be like, yeah.
right. The sinister read of like, this song has given me license to exercise my male gaze. You can touch, you can play, like they're like literally being sung at you. Like,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it sucks, but it's true. Okay, we have a lot of inputs here. I'm feeling so much better about what we might be able to do to punch up this song. This is like a scary one for me. Sometimes I get scared because it's like somebody brought a like truly great song that we're like agreeing is perfect. Okay, well, then what you do, what do you do?
Right. This isn't that.
This is not that. This song is so dumb, unabashedly dumb, and yet it presented this mystery. Like, I don't know what to change about this because it's just...
How could it possibly be good?
We've already said the song by its very nature turns your brain off.
I was going to try to like write the lyrics that were like, we tried to do a satire, but we failed. So now let's do it. Now let's do it harder. And now we're just writing lyrics about how Barbie sucks. But I think I had that maybe in mind because in reading about the song, I was reading that Mattel actually sued Aqua over the song.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I can't believe I didn't lead with this for some reason. Usually at the top of the show, I'll do song facts.
Song facts.
And
there's that soundboard.
Yeah, I'm waking up, and this right here is a major song fact.
Major song fact.
Yeah, forgot to do the beginning.
Oh no!
But now I'm on my game.
Oh my God!
And we can agree that this is a really fun song fact.
That's fire.
But
making up for lost
Evan,
time.
Evan, just cool it, Evan.
Oh, behave.
No, seriously, it is the soundboard is an asset.
You're the man now, dog.
And of course, Mattel is looking at this song, going like, "This is just way too sexy." They said the thing that we all don't want to say, that people rub Barbie's smooth crotch together. They're saying it out loud. Barbie is Odin. Barbie is not that. Barbie is wholesome. They violated our trademark.
Keep the clothes off.
She's a working lady. She's a professional lady. Barbie, what job will you have next?
We will watch your career with great interest.
Oh, that was a pretty specific one.
That's Senator Palpatine talking to Anakin Skywalker about how they will watch his career with great interest. So Aqua countersued for defamation. As we know, that's just what you do when you go to civil court. You got to countersue. So who do you think won? I guess I'll give you, I will, we have a segment in our show that I did not prep for, in which my brother Andrew always surprises me with a trivia question, and I hate it because I always lose and it embarrasses me, and that segment is called $5.
Then you get $5, $5, baby.
And I've been springing it on our... While I've been doing the show solo, I've been springing it on our guests and doing it very badly because I always make the questions really like too hard.
So we get to feel dumb.
So I'm going to, I'm trying to like atone for like my last few episodes. So I'm going to give you like, what's the easiest possible question? A 50-50. Who do you think won the lawsuit between Mattel versus Aqua over the use of the Barbie trademark in the song Barbie Girl, and I will Venmo you $5 if you get the answer right.
See, but now the 50-50 is stressing me out a little bit more because I'm like able to, I'm like, well, obviously Mattel, right? But then I'm like, well, I don't know because...
I'm doing the same thing. I'm like, Mattel was bigger at the time. Now this song is huge. Mattel is bigger at the time. But 25 years later, we still have Barbie Girl and it's got a billion freaking views. Would that have been possible if they had been
Which,
sued?
I don't know. In 2022 numbers, you know, with YouTube view inflation, that's like 15 billion views.
So I'm going to say, I'm going to say Aqua won.
Should I do the opposite just so one of us doesn't have to feel stupid?
Sure. And you know what? If I win, Sammy, I'll Venmo you $250.
Okay, same deal. Same deal.
How about that? We're beating the system. We can't lose.
All right. I'm going
This is my first ever time to pitch a 50-50 to two guests with a guaranteed win.
Yes.
And the correct answer was Aqua. Emily wins the $5. I'm going to Venmo you right after we stop recording. But the basic verdict here is that the judge agreed with, of course, the claim that Aqua needed to make, which is that this is parody and satire.
Yep.
And so the judge agreed, like, yeah, this is commenting on Barbie Girl. And just because the title is Barbie Girl and the things about Barbie Girl doesn't mean that they're using the trademark illegally. Mm-hmm. But he did throw out the defamation, which was based on the fact that Mattel had called Aqua, like, robbers for doing this.
So it was like a draw.
He said that's not defamation, but he's also throwing out. And then the last line of his verdict, which I am currently reading from public court records.
Oh, my God.
The last line of this judge's ruling is, the parties are advised to chill.
Shut up.
No way.
That's what he actually said?
Yes. Yes. This absolute mad lad of a judge. What's his name?
Man, the 90s were insane.
The parties are advised to chill.
Hey.
And then he just got up and walked away?
I'm a cool judge.
And then he like
hit his little
hammer and
walked out? This judge had the freaking time of his life. You know, of course, this is probably being filed in Los Angeles. So this, who knows what entertainment stuff this guy sees. He's having the time of his life reviewing this case. Yeah. The opening of his opinion. You know how they write these multiple page. Well, oh man. I mean, this week we all know a lot more about like court opinions than we want to. But in his opening thing, before he even gets into the official ruling, he's sort of like doing the abstract of his paper. You know, it's like, now I'm just reading from it. If this were a sci-fi melodrama, it might be called Free Speech Zilla Meets Trademark Kong. You know,
oh my God.
This is an official court document. You know, this guy's having the time of his life.
Yeah, he's having a lot of fun.
Wow. And then the lyrics of the song have to be pasted into the court opinion. You know, I'm a blonde bimbo girl. It's like, that's in the court record, you know?
That's so fascinating.
Thanks for playing. Emily, I'm going to Venmo you $5.
Thank you. Sammy, I'm going to Venmo you
$2. Thank you.
That's just smart betting.
Yeah, we really, really gamed the system there. That was
We're each pretty sneaky. Richer.
Okay, I think we have some great inputs here. I'm throwing my previous idea of just like a copyright song out. No one needs to hear more about copyright. And I'm going to call you guys back with a punched up version of this song.
I can't
wait.
Okay, we established that this song maybe was about patriarchy. And maybe that Aqua was trying to do a satire and poke fun at the plasticness of Barbie Girl or women who aspire to be like Barbie Girl, but maybe they just didn't do the satire good enough or hard enough. And so, you know, a lot of people listening to the song might just think it's purely pro Barbie and they'd be mistaken. But I arrived at the idea that the punch up just needs to make that more clear.
Great.
They tried to do this and didn't go hard enough. What if we just went harder and could do that on Aqua's behalf?
Oh my gosh. What if?
Yeah, what if? So I present to you Barbie Girl punched up.
Oh my God, I can't freaking wait.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Ken.
You free for dinner?
Sure, Ken.
Jump in.
I'm a Barbie girl, trapped in Barbie world. It's a prison of Mattel's invention. You can torture me, have fun dismembering. Your creation is now my damnation.
Come on, Barbie, I'm so hungry.
I'm a Barbie girl, trapped in Barbie world. You control me, I have no autonomy. You can shave my head, color me blue or red.
Yeah.
I'm just a doll, not you. Pink riding hood, entering a dark wood. Got a basket of shit for my gram.
Pay no mind to the fur. There's no way I'm a wolf. I'm a cool, very chill human man.
Yes.
You seem normal, you seem nice. I see no issues here.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
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 You're a Barbie girl, playing a pit girl. It's society.
Oh my
I love it so much.
It's incredible.
I'm gonna bring back ringtones and make it my ringtone.
Oh, I'm gonna make it my playback. When people call me, this is what they're gonna hear, and they're gonna hear the come on, Marvin, let's go, like the morphed.
Oh my god, I'm crying.
I went a little too far, but something about our conversation, I just had you guys doing horror movies on the brain, and I couldn't stop thinking of that, and had to go horror movie style on it. No,
it's absolutely perfect.
I think it's flawless.
You really downplayed this, and you're like, this isn't, guys, this isn't that good, this isn't that good. I couldn't be happier in this moment. This is everything I've ever wanted this song to be. It's absolutely... It's what the song is. It's just more, it's a more honest version.
That's right. I can't wait to listen to it all day long. I'm going to memorize it. It's going to be stuck in my head forever, and I'm going to be happy about it.
God, it's so
The more honest version of Barbie Girl is, like, that's exactly what we set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
The more just do what they wanted to do, but more, but better, better. Harder.
Oh my God.
Come on, Barbie. I'm so hungry.
Really got me good. We're going to dinner. Come on, I'm so hungry.
Oh God.
Hey, thanks. You paid me the best possible compliment. You don't get paid for coming on being a guest on Punch Up the Jam, but you do get a copy of the song in your email.
That's payment enough for me.
I'm absolutely.
That's what you get.
Absolutely
and worth we'll it. Figure out. We'll figure out how to make it one of those ring back tones too. We will figure out the technology for that, for sure.
God, I'm impressed. Bravo!
Really, I'm so delighted.
I hope Greta Gerwig's listening.
Oh my God! Pay no mind to the fur. There's no way I'm a wolf.
I couldn't stop thinking about his haircut. I could not.
The
I know
fur
it's
peeking
not
through.
Yeah, no, I'm a man. I'm a man.
It's not a part of the song canonically, the picture of his hair, you know? But I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop picturing it.
God.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Congratulations. Congratulations, Evan. What a success. What
Evan,
a triumph.
This is the perfect way to start my day. Every morning.
This is my alarm, actually. It's not my ringtone. It's my alarm clock.
Okay, yeah, now you guys are... It's too much flattery.
Oh, behave.
It's too much. Well, with that, I think we should get your guys' musical input with a little segment of the show I like to call...
What is your walking in music?
What is your walk-in in music? An opportunity to share a song that you would play when you walk into the event of your choosing. And I don't want to throw you guys to the proverbial wolves, so to speak. I'll go first.
Okay.
It's too much to ask my guest to go first. My walk-in music this week, this came to me when I was thinking about Barbie Girl the doll. The Barbie... doll. Probably the most, you don't think of her as an action figure, but she is, right? She is She's doing all sorts of jobs. She's not like a giant Cabbage Patch kid. She's a little action figure that you take around and play in her dream house. And I was thinking about what's my childhood experience of an action figure and trying to connect the dots. And so this is my walk-in music when I get magically transformed and shrunk down so I can fit in the dream house. And I waltz in. It's no more, you know, this is not your mom's Ken. I'm bringing a new vibe to the dream house, and this is the song that plays as I strut in. Immediately, strong alpha male energy.
Yes.
On the half shell, they're the heroes for. In this day and age, who could... And of course, this is the 1990 hit Turtle Power by Partners in Crime, which was the theme song from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie.
Hell
this
yeah.
This is serious, so give me a quarter. I was a witness, get me a reporter. Call April O'Neil in on this.
So in this scenario, you're just walking through your little house. Just like looking at rooms like, yeah, I own that, I own that.
And I think meeting Barbie, who is like giving me the once over, and I guess I'm probably a mutant turtle as well.
Yeah.
And but the Ninja Turtles are also straight up hot, just muscle bound.
They're ripped. Yeah, the 90s were like, we gave cartoons jacked bodies.
Completely jacked bodies for cartoons. Which the cartoons could already just arbitrarily be strong and lift any amount of weight they wanted. You didn't have to give them ripped bodies, but you did.
You absolutely did.
I remember recently, Emily, we were talking about, or you did a show and mentioned gargoyles. Remember how ripped gargoyles were?
Gargoyles were ripped. They'd mug the people who needed proof that from out of the chiseled. If you will.
What a piece, those chiseled gargoyles. I will. Well, thanks, guys. That's Turtle Power Turtle by Power. Partners in Crime. As far as I can tell, Partners in Crime with a K.
Okay.
K-R-Y-M-E.
Crime.
And you know what? It's actually coming back to me. I think that might be an acronym, like Partners in.
They're not related to the Kardashians or anything like that.
No, it's like stands for like keep rhythm your something.
Ooh.
You know, Partners in Crime, like, you know, just bringing a positive hip hop message. I don't think they existed as a musical group other than just making this just for this. Just the Ninja Turtle movie, and I'm here for it. Okay, that's my walk-in song.
Love it.
Sammy, you want to go next?
Yep. Okay. So I just really like this song, but picture this.
As soon as you say picture this, I hit play.
I'm late to my senior prom, walking in, and the prom queen, who I have a big crush on, has killed everybody. She's covered in pig's blood. The place has burned to the floor. Everybody's dead.
What a devastating moment for you.
But I'm realizing this is my chance to ask her to dance.
Yes!
I think this would have saved the movie. I think this would have saved Carrie's night. If someone had just come up to her in this moment, asked to dance, a single living soul.
You know, with the right soundtrack, every horror movie is a rom-com.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
Imagine this song playing as the credits roll, and Carrie's all buddy and dancing.
Just holding hands, walking away from the burned down rubble.
Absolutely perfect.
Big smiles on
but
our
faces. But doing a little, just a little strut. Mm-hmm. May I have this dance with my self-actualization? May I have this dance? Oh, superb pick.
It's a great song. A great song, too.
It's a great song. Great music video, although perhaps...
It's by Francis and the Lights. The song, if you don't know it, is called May I Have This Dance, featuring Chance the Rapper.
It is actually an excellent music video. Highly recommend watching that music video.
Agree strongly. It has... How'd you describe the music
video? It's just a fun little dance that you can easily learn yourself and dance along to it. That's what I do.
We have done that. We have been hanging out and just put it on TV and all of us stand in front of it and try to do the little dance. Great video.
Great scene. I really painted a picture for me. Emily, I pass the mic to you.
Thank you. Okay. Picture this. Picture this. My friends have been dying one by one. It's a masked figure. We don't know who it is, where they're coming from. We're in our friend's kitchen. I'm presumed dead.
Okay.
I walk in to reveal that blood on my shirt. That's fake blood, baby. And I'm the killer. It's me and my friend Stu. And I'm coming after you because your mom broke up my parents' marriage.
Oh, no.
And it's all been a massive ruse. And I'm going to frame you for the killings of all of our friends.
You really are the bad,
guy.
But it's because you were traumatized as a child.
I had no choice. I had no choice but to buy a Halloween mask and kill all of our friends one by one with the help of my other friend. Alternately, another situation this could work for is, you know, I'm a wolf. I ate your boyfriend. And here I am showing up in a car to take you to dinner, but you're on the menu.
Perfect use of this song, which is, as far as I can tell, mostly meant to mean like I'm naughty and I don't play by the rules.
I think,
but
so
it's just stronger if you're murdering.
Yeah, this is what we do here. We're making things more literal.
Absolutely. a 1-to-1, no subtext. No subtext at all.
Punch Up the Jam, the podcast in which we remove subtext. Mm-hmm.
Punch down the metaphor.
Punch down the metaphor. This song's only about stabbing now. Great scene. And I bought it, too. I bought that you could be a serial killer.
Thank you so much.
With the right backstory.
Yeah.
Speaking of you being a serial killer, I want to make sure that our audience is well introduced to the superb podcast that you guys helm or co-helm. Too Scary Didn't Watch. Give me the like elevator pitch so they hear it.
I, Sammy, love horror movies, and Emily and our other co-host Henley are too scared to watch them. And so this was something we were just doing in our friendship in real life, is that I would recount the plots of horror movies to them. And one day we decided, hey, let's make a podcast about it. And that's what we did. And the premise has stayed the same. I just tell them the plots of horror movies. We've got, we get great guests on. And it's a lot of fun. Evan, we got to get you on.
Please do. I can't wait. I'll happily come on there and either tell or be told about a horror movie.
Yeah, it's just basically like I have a little campfire story. Every week I sit down, I get to hear a spooky story. And it's a real treat for me. Every now and again, I'll watch a scary movie. We're getting braver. I'm getting braver.
Mm-hmm. Exposure it's therapy. Like, where I feel like I'm also getting braver.
What's a fave episode from this year that you put out?
Jaws with Paul F. Tompkins was super fun. We also just did Don't Breathe with Chuck Bryant, which was very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Urban Legend.
Paul F. Tompkins is out there slaying the podcast guesting.
He's the absolute king of podcasts.
I don't know about hosting, but he holds the title for probably like favorite historical episode of this show. Prior to when I was hosting it, when Demi and Miel were hosting it, he did an episode where they talked about L.A. Woman and by the Doors. It's absolutely legendary.
Yeah, there's a website that's like an IMDb for podcasts. Is it Podchaser, I think? I bet his Podchaser page is out of control.
Oh, I bet he... Oh, my God. I bet he's up there. Oh, I bet he's up there. Yep. He's the king of podcast guesting. We were thrilled to have him.
Well, consider him dethroned, because you guys have actually you just slayed the game.
Oh, my God.
God, take this that, week. Paul.
Take that. a gauntlet thrown.
Yes. Love to throw a gauntlet at, like, arguably the nicest person ever in the world. Take that. Sometimes
he'll most likely just pick it up gently and dust it off and hand it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
But because you guys have actually just nailed it. We talked about Barbie. We talked about music. We punched up the song. This episode slaps. I'm here to say it. If people want to find you and follow you, what are your @s on the things?
Well, the podcast is at TSDW Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And then individually, I'm at Emily A. Gons. on Instagram. And ending with that's Z. Really the only place I produce any sort of content. And that's even being generous with what it is that I do. But there I am.
It's questionable. It's technically true.
It's technically true.
And I'm at Sammy with 3 Y's Smart on Instagram and Twitter. And similarly, I don't do a ton, but hey, if you're interested in once every
what she does,
2 weeks
she does well.
Thing, check it out.
Check it out.
I have been your host, Get Some Evan. At Get Some Evan, you can follow me, Evan Gregory, on all the things. And you can follow this show at Punch Up The Jam. And of course, you can get this week's Punch Up and every other amazing Punch Up on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/Gregory Brothers. You are just a Barbie girl playing in Punch Up The Jam's world. We'll see you next week when we continue to...
Let's punch it.
It's so bizarre. I've never seen anything like it. I don't even... I'm shocked.
That was a HeadGum Original.